Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Nova M Radio. How you doing tonight? Huh? No, not doing so good. You took a look at Bush's budget? Eh? You know, you can get it online. His budget proposal. I don't think the Democrat. Well, what am I saying? I'd like to say I don't think the Democrats are going to let it fly, but who never? You never know about Democrats. I took a look at it. Jesus, what a pro-death president this guy is. What a hater of humanity. Oh, my God. We're going to touch on some of those points tonight. No. I'm not trying to put you to sleep. We're not going to do it in a dry, dull, bloodless way. I'll have your heart pumping. But if that has you upset, if the war in Iraq has you upset, if death and destruction and miserableness and all this stuff has you upset, Truth Seeker, I have some wonderful news for you tonight. Hallelujah. Put your hand on the radio for this one. One of four ministers who oversaw 3 weeks of intensive counseling for the Reverend Ted Haggard said the disgraced minister emerged convinced that he is, quote, completely heterosexual, end quote, amen and amen, hallelujah. It's a miracle. The Reverend Tim Ralph. Always be aware of somebody who has two first names, one of which is used as a last name. The Reverend Tim Ralph of Larkspur, Colorado, told the Denver Post for a story in Tuesday's edition, he is completely heterosexual. It is something he discovered in his counseling. It was the acting out situations where things took place. It wasn't a constant thing. Praise God he's not a faggot. Praise God. It was only with that guy he was hanging out with. Everything is all right. So there's your good news for today. Haggard said in an email Sunday, his first communication in 3 months to his former church members, that he and his wife, Gail, plan to pursue master's degrees in psychology. The email said the family hasn't decided where to move, but they were considering Missouri or Iowa, possibly the Castro District in San Francisco, and maybe Greenwich Village, or Boys Town in Chicago. They just weren't sure yet. Another oversight board member, the Reverend Mike Ware of Westminster, Colorado, said the group recommended that the family move out of town. And the Haggards agreed. Oh, hell yeah, we're leaving here. You're damn right. Reverend Ware said this is not a good place for Ted. It's hard to heal in Colorado Springs right now. It's like an open wound. He needs to get somewhere he can get the wound healed. Amen. The board also strongly urged that the Reverend Merle, I just want to call him Merle Haggard, that the Reverend Merle go into secular work. Your days of ministering and bashing queers is over, Haggard. That's great. He must have had the same group counseling him on his homosexuality that Rush Limbaugh had counseling him on his drug addiction. What do you think, True Seekers, huh? So you see, for those of you who say that all you get is negativity and bad news and you want to open a vein or possibly an artery from listening to this program, there you go. I've just proved you a liar. The Reverend Merle Haggard, the Reverend Ted Haggard, whatever, has discovered after 3 weeks of intensive training that no, he is not gay. Absolutely is not gay. The devil has been defeated one more time. Amen. Oh, my God. The freaks in the Republican Party, which is every single member of the Republican Party, is a freak. It's a matter of degrees, not of identification. It's a matter of degrees. But the freaks in the conservative in the Republican Party say that Nancy Pelosi is seeking special treatment. Yeah, because she will be using an Air Force jet larger than the one used by Dennis Hastert. And she's doing this so she can fly nonstop to her home in San Francisco. Now, ever since the attacks on this country engineered by the Bush crime family of September 11, 2001, the Speaker of the House, who is next in line for the presidency after the Vice President, has been given use of a government plane for security reasons. Hastert, Jabba the Hastert, was the first to have use of such a plane, but the one he traveled in was simply too small to make it to California without refueling. Yesterday, the House Sergeant Arms issued a statement saying that the leadership is waiting word from the Air Force on the rules for using the plane. You see, Pelosi asked, she asked, okay, what are the rules? What do I have to do? It is unclear, for example, who can travel with Pelosi and whether she can return home from a political event on the taxpayer-funded plane. Can you imagine this pig Hastert asking these questions? Of course not. Pelosi's office requested the guidelines from the Air Force, and that's what caused the Reverend Sun Myung Moon's Washington Times to jump on this like a duck on a June bug. Damn, look at this. Look at this woman. She wants a bigger plane than Hastert had. These people are sick, degenerate, vile, filthy, and should all be taken out and beheaded. Democratic aides to members of Congress talked about a right-wing hatchet job to make Pelosi look bad. This is about security, not about convenience. But to right-wing Republicans, which is all that includes all Republicans, when you scratch deep enough into Olympia snow, you find Newt Gingrich. Trust me. But Republicans, you see, anything, they will filibuster a non-binding resolution. They will screech and claw and wet their pants and jump around and make their depends fall down around their knees just to get word out that Nancy Pelosi, who has to fly twice as far as Hastert the Hutt, is seeking special consideration. Jesus God!
An aide in Hastert's office said that the former speaker used the plane for official business, but not for political travel. Okay, he did at times transport his wife and his staff. Okay, and a couple of hookers. Oh, all right. And a boys' soccer team. Okay! When he traveled to and from Illinois. But other than that, it was strictly for travel to and from Illinois.
These people are disgusting. Anytime I have to come on the air and defend a Democrat for using an airplane commissioned for that Democrat or Republican by virtue of the office they hold to use that airplane because some filthy piglet starts screeching and cawing and crawling around the Washington Times? That's the day when I think to myself, my God, why can't I have some good news once in a while, like the Reverend Merle Haggard is no longer queer? Oh, wait. We did get that today, didn't we? I'll tell you, this is a strange country politically, isn't it? No, let me rephrase that. This is a sick, screwed-up country politically, isn't it? Huh? Isn't this just freaking unbelievable? But the good news today, Truth Seekers, and I tell you, it is good news. Hallelujah. One more heterosexual man has been snatched back from the gates of homosexuality, brought back into the fold of his wife and his children, never to darken the door again of homosexual intro course.
Washington, we're now determining the size and the shape of a package. It's not if we have a package, it's how big will the package be.
You knew we were going to play that music, didn't you? You just knew it. Regarding the Haggards getting their degree in psychology, Michael in Roswell, New Mexico writes, how much do you want to bet that Ted and wife start a practice to cure gays once they get their degrees in psychology? Always an angle with the televangelists. Yeah. Yeah. Iran is... all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, but gradually, they're just about finished painting the huge bullseye on Iran, painting it with laser targeting equipment. From Pearl Harbor, from Hawaii, KHNL television, hundreds of Pearl Harbor sailors are headed to Iraq. This is from yesterday, or Sunday. Two destroyers left, and it was unexpected. The Navy is calling it a surge deployment. The destroyers Hamilton and Russell. Now, you do a Google on Hamilton. Go ahead. USS Hamilton. And what you come up with is a destroyer that was commissioned in, I think, 1919, decommissioned and recommissioned, and finally decommissioned and sold for scrap in 1946. So I'm not sure what Hamilton they're talking about. But the Russell carries Tomahawk missiles and is designed for intense anti-submarine, anti-aircraft, anti-ship-to-ship combat. This is... This is quite the destroyer, the USS Russell. Both ships left today on short notice deployment. Many of the sailors, according to KHNL, have only been back for a few months. They were not expected to ship out so soon. Family members say that makes this even harder to deal with. The 320 sailors aboard the USS Russell had to make last-minute preparations for their mission. They're meeting up with the USS Reagan Carrier Strike Group. Then according to KHNL, even the ship's commander couldn't tell us how long they would be away on this unexpected deployment. Some wives heard it would be anywhere from 2 to 4 months. Speaking of missiles, the United States insisted yesterday that Nicaragua destroy hundreds of Soviet-made surface-to-air missiles. After President Daniel Ortega, yep, he was elected, said the weapons were needed for the country's defense. Ortega said it would be absurd to destroy Nicaragua's SAM-7 missiles while neighboring Honduras is adding U.S. weaponry to its military fleet, including U.S. warplanes. The U.S. Embassy said in an immediate statement released Monday that Honduras, yes, they're buying 8 small planes from the United States, but they will be used in the fight against drug trafficking and not offensive military aircraft. The U.S. Embassy said, quote, the U.S. government expects that Nicaragua will continue its already established path of disarmament and destroy the SAM-7 missiles. End quote. Nicaraguan officials have destroyed, they already have destroyed half of their initial stock of about 2,000 missiles. U.S. officials say they fear the weapons could fall into the hands of terrorists. And Ortega insists that the United States compensate Nicaragua for the missile destruction. You want us to destroy them? Well, okay, give us some money. Jesus Christ, I mean, what is this? Nicaragua, get rid of yours. Korea, get rid of yours. How about, I'll tell you what, since we're the Globe's bully boys, I insist, as an American taxpayer and a patriot, and an anti-communist, that we demand tomorrow morning that China get rid of its missiles. And if they won't, then by Christ, we'll stop buying stuff from China. How's that, all right? China, get rid of your missiles. Don't want any back talk. Just get rid of your missiles. And Russia, you too. Nicaragua? Nicaragua? Hey, Nicaragua. This is the United States talking. Get rid of your missiles, mofo, or we're going to come down on you like stink on, you know. Get rid of your missiles. Oh, my God. If you don't, we're going to send Tony Soprano down there, man. Hey, get rid of your missiles. These people crack me up.
Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
Before the hour. All right, thanks to everybody who sent me information about the USS Paul Hamilton. This is one hell of a ship, Truth Seekers. It has the Aegis weapon system, all sorts of missiles. Well, both of these are extremely sophisticated ships. Wow. Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. Speaking of things military, our senior North Metro Atlanta Bureau Chief, I don't know what Sharon is. Sharon's been listening to me on the radio for over 20 years. Bless her heart. She writes, have you read David Broder's latest column in the Washington Post? And it's from yesterday, I guess. Broder likes to present, this is not in Sharon's email, Broder likes to present himself as a liberal of some sort, or a moderate. But Sharon says, one of the comments from David Broder's column about the Friday Democratic National Committee winter meeting speeches, here it is, quote, one of the losers in the weekend oratorical marathon was retired General Wesley Clark, who repeatedly invoked the West Point motto of duty, honor, country, forgetting that few in this particular audience have much experience with or sympathy for the military. End quote. Sharon writes, I think my head is going to burst into flames. What the hell is wrong with David Broder? First of all, he can stop insulting my favorite general by calling him a loser. Broder isn't worthy to shine the general's combat boots. Second, Clark mentioned duty, honor, country twice in his speech, which was mostly about the war. Next, what the hell is Broder talking about? It's the old Democrats don't support the troops crap. Has he ever heard of Jim Webb, Jack Reed, John Kerry? Oops, I forgot his service doesn't count. The Fighting Dems, VoteVets.org. Does he know the Democrats are the ones who actually fund the Veterans Administration? Does he know the veterans, the Democrats created the GI Bill? Democrats were the ones who were pissed when they found out the Bush crime family had sent our soldiers into battle without all the necessary equipment. Republicans didn't want to investigate the lack of decent body armor. And by the way, Wesley Clark has spent the last 2 years working his backside off to disavow people of the notion that the Democrats don't like the military and that Democrats are soft on defense. Many of the Iraqi-Afghan war vets who were just elected to Congress were recruited by Clark. He spent most of 2006 campaigning for these people. I'm so sick of this crap, Sharon writes, about Democrats not appreciating soldiers and not serving in the military. As far as I'm concerned, Broder has impugned the honor of all veterans, including Clark, who happen to be Democrats. He is also dissing all Democratic politicians who are fighting for our soldiers in the field and for our veterans. You go, Sharon. Yeah, it's just the audacity of David Broder to say one of the losers in this week's weekend's oratorical marathon. Retired General Wesley Clark, who repeatedly invoked the West Point motto of duty, honor, country, forgetting that few in this particular audience have much experience with or sympathy for the military. I wish Broder and Sharon, I didn't know about this. Thanks for sending to me, Sharon. Broder ought to get a like group of Republicans together and see how many of those cowardly little bastards have served in the military. Other than Chuck Hagel and John Warner, who do they have? Oh, that's right, John McCain, the crazy man. How old is he? 70 what? Not that there's anything wrong with age, but I mean, and how old is Warner? He was old when God was a teenager. Oh, it must be fun to be so much of a sheep in one's thinking, like Broder is. Well, you know the Democrats; they don't. Jesus God. What else have we got here? This is from Mary. She writes, Mike, I'm angry while watching the hearings on the missing money in Iraq today. L. Paul Bremer repeatedly said that poor planning was to blame for just about everything. I find that ironic since he was in charge and let go all the Iraqi-trained police and party members. It was also ironic that Henry Kissinger, his big daddy, referred to him as, quote, more of a control freak than I am, end quote. If I could have reached through the TV and grabbed his throat, I would have liked to have strangled him. This administration put people in charge who were their loyalist friends. The Democrats will keep these shows going up to the November 8 election, hoping to keep the sunlight on these criminals. What a mess. All of these Congress people are. No wonder people do not watch these hearings. All of this moves too slow to suit me. Hang them all. Mary in Myrtle Beach. All right. Well, yeah, I agree. I had some freak email the radio station today because I said something the other night about American Enterprise Institute and about how all of them in a different time, a different place, they all would have been taken out and shot.
I want to complain about Mike Malloy. He's advocate. I thought about calling the police on the son of a bitch. He's talking about shooting people.
Oh, grow up, you twit. God.
Mike Malloy's talking about shooting people. I'm going to tell Rush.
Former Malaysian Premier Mahathir Mohamad, this is Malaysia, condemned British Premier Tony Blair and U.S. President George W. Bush as child killers and war criminals. As he launched an anti-war conference Monday, Mahathir, who has been nominated by Bosnian civil society groups for the 2007 Nobel Peace Prize for helping the country after its bloody civil war, said the pair should be put on trial for their military action in Iraq. He said, quote, history should remember Blair and Bush as the killer of children or the lying prime minister and president. What Bush and Blair had done is worse than what Saddam had done. Mahathir, I hope I'm pronouncing it right, also turned his scorn on British Prime Minister John Howard. Australian Prime Minister John Howard, deriding him as, quote, the pocket bush of the bushlands of Australia. The 81-year-old firebrand, the former Malaysian premier, was a strident critic of the West during his 2 decades in power and has continued to hit out since stepping down in 2003. Last week, he unveiled plans for an unofficial war crimes tribunal to focus on victims of abuse in Iraq, Lebanon, and the Palestinian territories, saying that the existing international court at The Hague was biased. Mahathir said in a speech, quote, we should not hang Blair if the tribunal finds him guilty, but he should always carry the label war criminal, killer of children, liar. Wow. No, I'm sorry, Mr. whatever your name is. Not true. Tony Blair and George Bush are great Americans. Yeah, both of them. Andre, the subject line says Orwell. His email says, this headline seems rather familiar. Malabar Front, etc. Here's the headline. Gates, colon. Not Bill, the other one. New command will oversee African missions. Africa has moved up significantly in the Bush administration's global game planning. Yeah, that's right. That's right. The Malabar Front. What else we got? This is kind of interesting. The Taliban is getting ready to launch a spring offensive in Afghanistan. When that occurs, Truth Seeker, it's going to be intense, and the Taliban has slowly re-seizing control of Afghanistan. They are using their poppy crop and the exporting of opium to finance. I mean, what else have they got? I'm not giving you a newsflash. That country doesn't produce anything else except maybe rocks or dead Russians. So the opium harvest has just been phenomenal the past couple of years, keeps increasing. According to the French news agency, AFP, Taliban fighters were holed up in a southern Afghan town for a fifth day as officials said they wanted to end the occupation without military action. NATO planes on Sunday dropped government leaflets that tells the Taliban that they'd like to sit down and talk. Well, wait a second. We don't negotiate with terrorists, do we, Kathy? Didn't Bush say we don't negotiate with the axis of evil, the Taliban? We don't, nah. This couldn't be. This, you know, the French news agency, they usually get everything wrong. So NATO is willing, well, if they're willing to negotiate with the Taliban, those evil bastards who make women walk around inside wicker baskets, why not negotiate with the Sunnis and the militias and never mind.
Nations hold this nation hostile or hold our allies hostile.
load of other things.
He's such a mush mouth. I swear to God. We're going to talk about this a little bit more after the break, about the about what Bush is doing with his phony ass budget. It's every year this happens, so I don't know why we should talk about it. The poor, the kids, the elderly are always targeted, always targeted. The top 5 or 4 or 3% in this country in terms of how much money they have or assets they have are never targeted. Never, ever, ever, ever. It's always old people. It's always people on Medicaid or Medicare recipients or children or school lunch programs or the women, infants, children feeding program. Those are the ones that always take it right in the gut. This son of a bitch. The reason he just disgusts me. One of the reasons is because of his lying misrepresentation of himself. I remember back in 1999, he started calling himself a compassionate conservative. And so many Americans bought that BS, right? Huh? Oh, here's a compassionate conservatism. You ought to go back and listen, if you can, if you know how to access, some of his old campaign speeches in 1999. It's just unbelievable stuff. But this filthy, bullying little man in his budget, for example, he's proposing to slash medical care for the poor and the elderly to meet the cost of his filthy Iraq war. It just goes on and on and on. I wonder if the Democrats are going to let this one get through. Huh? Or I wonder if the Democrats will say something like, well, we're not going to filibuster the John Roberts nomination or Sammy the Fish Alito because, you know, we're going to wait for something important to come along. And look what the Republicans do. The Republicans filibuster a simple-ass non-binding resolution. God, I hate being a Democrat sometimes because of my leadership. Oh, we're not going to filibuster these Supreme Court nominees. It wouldn't be cricket. you know, we're not going to filibuster this budget. We're not going. You know, we want to wait for something important. And the Republicans say what? The Democrats are doing what? They got a non-binding resolution. Oh, let's stop this. Jesus Christ! Let's put a couple of 88s right in the middle of this one. Boom. And the Democrats just sit there and go, oh, no, that's not fair. And the Republicans just give them the middle finger and say, get out of my face, Democrat. And then they trot Trent Lott out on camera. Did you see Blitzer? Was it yesterday or today? Wolf Blitzer, former German U-boat commander, talking with Trent Lott, and in the end, I thought they were going to reach through somehow the electronic barrier separating them and kiss each other.
Thanks, Wolf.
Thank you, Mr. Senator God.
Thanks, Wolf.
Always good to have you on the program. Thank you very much as we strive forward ever looking for the answers to solutions here on CNN. Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Wolf. Jesus, God. Now my Democrats aren't going to let me down. Not this time. Let's do a couple of phone calls real quick here. AJ is calling from New York. AJ, welcome to the program.
Hey, handsome. How are you tonight?
Oh, you devil.
How's it going?
It's going.
Yeah. You were not there on Friday night.
No, I wasn't. I was lucky enough to have severe laryngitis, and Brad Friedman sat in for me.
Yeah, I know. Don't do that again, okay? I'll tell you why. But because, you know, those of us who were there in August when you didn't show up the following week at Air America, we're still a bit skittish.
Well,
when we turn on the radio and you're not there, you know, we get nervous.
Well, no, this is not, trust me, the people at Nova M are not the people at Air America. Air America had a board and still has a board of directors of dilettantes and self-abusers.
Really, I'm serious. You know, I couldn't talk about that when I was on the air, but the people who ran Air America were just, and still are, just a bunch of freaks.
Yeah.
Those of us who are on the air, you know, with the exception of Al Franken, were really good and dedicated to liberal or progressive causes, everybody except Al Franken.
Yeah.
But we had to deal with that kind of leadership. You don't have that here at Nova M. The leadership at Nova M is trust me on this. Would never happen. It would never happen.
Okay, because when we turn on the radio and you're not there, we're still sobbing from what happened.
I understand.
All right.
All right. Is that it?
I wanted to tell you that I got my column up on unreportednews.net.
What do you have up there?
It's the Music Factory's column.
Oh, okay. And people go to unreportednews.net and it'll say the
Music Factory.
Music Factory.
Yep.
That's you.
What I wanted to tell you tonight was that I've been going back and forth for a while now. Who should be impeached first? Should it be removed? Should it be Bush or Cheney or both? And then I go back and forth. Bush, Cheney, both. Bush, Cheney, both. And I finally figured out who it should be.
Who?
Harry Reid. This is a disgrace. This is outrageous.
Well, it's really Nancy Pelosi. What can Harry Reid do? Oh, you're talking about impeachment. It's up to the House Judiciary Committee.
No. I'm not talking about impeachment. I'm talking about the fact that he can't make that Republican minority sit down and shut up.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't have the time. I just got this column together for Unreported News. And I'm already working on my second one, but it'll be a week or two before I get it up. But in the meantime, I'm going to post this tomorrow on Unreported News.
All right.
It says, I am calling for Senator Harry Reid of Nevada.
Hey, hold on a second, AJ. We got a break coming. Hold on. We'll come back and finish this up on the other side of the break. Stay with us, Truth Seekers. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio Network. Welcome back. It's just about 7 past the hour. Right before the break, we were talking with AJ, who has called in from New York. All right, now you have a new column up at unreportednews.net. Go to the Music Factory?
Yep.
Okay. And were you about to tell us about another one coming? What?
Well, actually, that break came in pretty handy because I was able to post it while I was waiting to get back on. But basically, you know, I'm fuming that the Republicans are able to just bully the Democrats still. You know, 2 weeks ago we were all celebrating Jim Webb's words that we will show him the way.
Right, right.
And nothing changes. And so what I just posted is this. To the Senator of the United States, I am calling for Senator Harry Reid of Nevada to relinquish his position as Majority Leader. The citizens of the United States did not rip the power out of the unyielding hands of the Republican Party to then in turn have them bury the Democratic majority and hold it hostage. The clock is ticking. There is no time. We cannot afford a leader who lacks the testicular fortitude to keep the Republicans on the leash that the American people put it on to begin with.
Well, I'm sure that once Washington reads that, what you just wrote, they will just, you know, Harry Reid will go, oh, my God, did you hear what AJ wrote about us? Quick.
He won't, and I don't think that's the point. I would very much like people to agree with it and you know, jump on.
Well, I think we all agree with it. There's no question about that. I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't. It does make Jim Webb look kind of like hanging out there all by himself. Makes him look like kind of a fool. Of course, on the other hand, I read that what Webb responded with was not what the Democrats gave him as his response.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe Webb understood from the get-go that the Democrats, the Democratic Party leadership, was going to do this. I mean, I've never heard of filibustering a non-binding resolution. I mean, I understand the psychological necessity to stop this, to stop this non-binding resolution, but the fact that the Democrats are just being bloodied by all this procedural bull hockey, and where were the Democrats? They could have done this about stuff, couldn't they have? But no, we're not going to filibuster because, you know, then the Republicans will come at us with the so-called nuclear option. I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
The drum that I wish you would keep banging with regard to this subject is what you were talking about last night about shutting down the government. I mean, it's, you know, that what options are there left?
Well, there aren't any.
You just sit speechless and watch the majority. You know, their hands are tied. I didn't even know it was possible.
I know.
You know?
It's
so
insane.
Anyway.
All right, AJ.
My best to Kathy, and we'll talk to you soon. And have a great vacation.
Thanks, AJ. I appreciate it. Don't forget, when you tune in Friday, I'm not here. Don't panic.
I won't.
All right.
Don't do too much of that. We're still shaky from the last time.
All right, AJ. Thanks. Appreciate you checking in. All right. Yeah, we will be off Friday coming and all next week. This is from Kim. A Nova M founding member, love you, Mike. Have the Democrats no short-term memory? Each and every year, a reprobate party comes up with a budget that adds money to the military industrialists and takes money from social programs, and the Democrats act surprised. Every year, the Democrats scratch and fight to get the social program money put back in the budget, but do nothing to eliminate the gifts to military corporatists. And every year, the Republic thugs generously allow most of the social programs to be refunded at last year's levels and then go on to blame the Democrats for causing an unbalanced budget. And every year, Americans buy this crap. What the Democrats need to do is cut the increase to the military, put it back into social programs, and just say, screw you! If you want to break the country, go ahead and do it, but don't blame us. Kim in the last name. All right, Kim. Sure. I get the point. I don't know what's wrong with the Democratic Party. But Bush's almost $3 trillion budget that was sent to Congress, yesterday, includes $100 billion extra for the Iraq and Afghanistan wars for this year, on top of the $70 billion already allocated by Congress and $141 billion next year. There's an 11.3% increase for the Pentagon. Spending on the Iraq war is destined to top the total cost of the 13-year war in Vietnam. Can you believe this? There will be $66 billion in cuts over 5 years to Medicare to pay for this, $12 billion in cuts from the Medicaid health care a program for poor folks. I don't know how to handle this. Now the Democrats say this is dead in the water. Yeah, okay. Here are some cuts that Bush is proposing for this budget. Department of Justice law enforcement grants. Okay, Bush's budget provides $32 million for the COPS program. That reflects a cut of $510 million below the 2007 level. That's 94% cut in the COPS program. This is Republican binge spending for the wealthy and crippling the rest of us. Department of Human Services first responders. The budget proposes to cut funding for first responder grant programs by $1.7 billion, a 50% cut. Local law enforcement terrorism prevention grants would be funded at $263 million, which is $119 million below last year's level. Community Development Block Grant Program. a cut of $736 million below last year's level. Education. The budget provides this out-of-control budget provides $56 billion in discretionary funding for education programs in the Department of Education. That reflects a cut of $1.5 billion below the level in 2007. The budget eliminates 44 education programs, including federal supplemental education opportunity grants, leveraging education assistance grants, that's LEAP, education technology, state grants, school counseling, Even Start, mentoring, parent information resource centers, physical education, dropout prevention, school leadership, and tech prep state grants. Funding for Individuals with Disabilities Education Act is cut $291 million. Head Start, cut $107 million. Amtrak, transportation, Amtrak is cut $500 million. The Clean Water State Revolving Fund is cut $396 million. The Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy Program is cut $238 million. The National Institutes of Health, cut $743 million. The CDC, cut $165 million. Women, infant, and children. What are they doing with that? They're cutting at $108 million. Veterans discretionary programs. This program will impose fees on veterans. If you want services now, you have to pay fees. It just goes on and on. Medicare, cut. Medicaid, cut. State Children's Health Insurance Reauthorization, cut. Veterans Health Plans, cut. Social Security, cut. Agriculture, food stamp programs, education, energy and environment, on and on and on. This rancid son of a bitch is cutting everything except two things: money for the wealthy and war!
Early on that I recognize there are hurdles and we're going to achieve those hurdles. There's no doubt in my mind we will.
Past the hour.
Our priority is to protect the American people, and our priority is to make sure our troops have what it takes to do their jobs. We also have got priorities in national parks and education and health care. Yes, indeed. That's what this rancid little bastard said the other day, Monday. But we have proven, and I strongly believe Congress needs to listen to a budget which says no tax increase and a budget because of fiscal discipline that can be balanced in 5 years. Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo! Bush wants to squeeze $66 billion from Medicare. $66 billion over 5 years. $12 billion from Medicaid. But war and death? Bush's budget authorizes $717 billion in military spending. Jesus God. $717 billion. Congress has already approved $427 billion for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Now, of that $717 billion, $481 billion is for the regular Pentagon budget, a rise of more than 10%. This is just astonishing. This is just madness. This is just insane. This is just further proof that the son of a bitch needs to be removed from office!
Now, Mike... We're the Democratic Party. We don't want to upset anything. Come on now, Mike. Get a grip on it. Come on, Mike. Everything's okay. We've got everything under control. Don't we, Senator Lieberman? Don't we, Senator Biden? Don't we, Senator Clinton? Don't we, everybody? Huh?
In Michigan. In Michigan. This is from... Detroit News. President Bush proposed on Monday a $2.9 trillion budget with cuts to social programs that critics say could deepen Michigan's economic and budget crises. Well, yeah, guys. I mean, you didn't vote for him. Under the plan, Michigan would be one of four states to get a cut in funding for Medicaid. The Joint State-Federal Health Program for the Poor. Now, he's talking about cutting state money in addition to federal money. Cities in Michigan and other states also would get less money for economic development grants. The state would get less for home heating aid to the poor, less for funding for education programs such as special ed. Huh? How about that, truth seekers? Hey, you filthy Republicans, that's really good, huh? You like that, don't you, you psychos, huh? Cut funding for special ed and Medicaid and women, infant, children feeding programs and old people and Medicare. Yeah, those sons of bitches don't deserve to live anyway. We got a war to think about. We got Jesus to bring back. We got tax cuts for the wealthy. Ha!
A healthcare analyst at the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities, a liberal think tank, said, quote, the president has proposed things that are just not possible, end quote. In Michigan, state officials are upset. They reacted with alarm to the proposed Medicaid cut, which would add to an estimated $800 million increase to the state deficit. A spokesman for Governor Jennifer Granholm said instead of cutting Medicaid, the federal government should partner with states to expand access to affordable health care and increase savings in the Medicaid program. No. 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 De una familia muy rica. Antes de que usted vuelva, quiero decirle que Bush ha vendido su alma. Gana dinero, Jorge Bush gana dinero. Gana.
problem. Listen, this nation is committed to dealing with poverty. First, let me make it very clear. Poor people aren't necessarily killers. Just because you happen to be not rich doesn't mean you're willing to kill.
What did we do? What did this country do to deserve this? George W. Bush, what the hell did we do? Now, I realize the question is nonsensical, but still, you know, if you indulge yourself in any sort of mythological thoughts about cause and effect and a pissed off divine being and all this other weirdness, you've got to ask yourself, what did we do to bring this filthy creature into power like this? Oh, I know, I'm just kidding. Okay, just a couple more things here, then your phone calls. This is, they're just articles all over the place. This is from the AP. Bush's budget proposals calls for eliminating a program that provides poor seniors with nutritious foods, marking the second year in a row that the White House has tried to remove the program's recipients to food stamps. The Commodity Supplemental Food Program, that's what it's called, provides nutritionally balanced boxes of food to about 500,000 poor people per month. Most beneficiaries are elderly, although some women and children participate in the program. Jesus Christ. The, I don't know. I don't know how to, all right, here's one. President's budget cuts children's health coverage, contrary to his promises in 2004. This is what this pig said at the Republican National Convention, September 2, 2004, America's children must also have a healthy start in life. In a new term, we will lead an aggressive effort to enroll millions of poor children who are eligible but not signed up for the government's health insurance programs. We will not allow a lack of attention or information to stand between these children and the health care they need. The following is a statement of Ron Pollack, Executive Director of Families USA, about the President's proposal, a budget proposal that would cut children's health coverage. Quote, the President's budget proposal would cut health coverage for children in low and moderate income families instead of expanding health coverage to America's 9 million uninsured children. President Bush proposes to reduce coverage in two ways. First, the President's proposed funding for the state Children's Health Insurance Program, the CHIPS program, is inadequate to retain enrollment for the children who currently participate. Not only will states be unable to enroll more children, they'll be forced to terminate coverage for hundreds of thousands of children. Second, the president's proposal is designed to reduce the program's eligibility in 18 states where eligibility exceeds 200% of the federal poverty level. It would jeopardize health coverage for many additional children. It just goes on and on and on and on and on. How much longer are we going to put up with this? How much longer are we going to put up with this? Jesus God. This is from Monday, healthcare providers would get smaller pay increases when caring for the elderly, poor, and disabled under Bush's budget plan submitted to Congress on Monday. It goes on and on and on and on. Bush budget plan targets Medicare, Medicaid for cuts. Healthcare providers would get smaller pay. On and on and on. The Bush administration on Monday sought a cut of $4.9 billion, or 8%, in education, training, employment, and social service grants. He's the decider. And then this one. The Pentagon is the big winner in President Bush's proposed budget for next year, while domestic items such as aid to schools will get
Nothing!
It just goes on and on. I can't. Okay, that's enough. That's enough. This is just too depressing. This is just too depressing. I hate these people so much. Sometimes I think I don't know. My liver must be the size of a walnut. From all the bile. Oh God, go ahead, laugh, Malloy. Go ahead, chuckle. Pretend like you're not serious. Jesus God, I don't know. I don't know what to do. 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 Let's do some phone calls. Okay, let's do some phone calls here. Matthew is calling from Bedford, Texas. Matthew, welcome to the program.
Did I mention you tonight?
How much you hate these people. I know. Yeah. Well, you just did. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah.
I've been, I just got off with a rather large barn burner with a conservative friend of mine. My voice gives out. Feel free to dump me.
Okay.
But as I was saying, I was having a lively discussion with one of my, my only neoconservative friends. Mainly, I only have him as a friend to keep my enemy closer, if you will.
yeah.
'Cause there's no other damn reason I'd have him. And I was discussing with him among many, many subjects, desire to fight, and the fact that, you know, I mean, I'm against all forms, or at least most forms of violence.
Right.
I mean, I guess you could call me some kind of a pacifist.
Right.
And one of the talking points he used on me was, and it didn't really shock me, it just kind of gave me pause, was he said that fighting is something that we need to do, and since people who are pacifists are weak, they actually breed wars with their inaction.
Well, you see, your friend or whatever is displaying monumental ignorance. Let me ask you something. What brought down the British Empire in India? One single pacifist. His name was Gandhi. He stopped the entire British Army, the British Navy, 150 years of British dominance in the Indian subcontinent. One man, Gandhi. And the primary way he did it was to say to the British, we're not going to allow you to control the salt business. And he marched, from wherever his compound was all the way to the Indian Ocean. And he got the people there, and the people followed him. When they got the Indian Ocean, they started extracting their own salt. And the British were dumbfounded because nobody had ever done this before. That's just one of the ways. So the next time you talk to this little obnoxious jackass that you say is your friend, tell him that pacifists historically have brought entire empires down. That it is not pacifists who have no power. It is the illusion of power that warmongers have. Of course, he won't understand a thing you're saying.
Well, yeah, what he said did give me pause, and it gave me some chance to think about it. And I mean, I realize that violence is human nature. We're all evolved from very violent creatures, and we all do have at least some manner of violent tendencies to us. I know I do. And it's a habit from adolescence. And, I mean, all people have it in one way or another. And, I mean, I've decided to take my pacifism, or rather pacifism in general, after what he has said. And I think I call it the ultimate solution to the ultimate human habit. The habit of war, the habit of killing, the habit of violence. Now, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not really that big on the turn the other cheek bullcrap. I mean, I'm going to defend myself. I will defend myself for people who say that. But for people to say that who are against aggressive, offensive aggression are weak, I feel they're just addicted to carpet.
Okay,
they
listen.
Are weak.
All right, listen.
They are too afraid to evolve out of their war-loving, death-loving nature.
All right, Matthew, you know what I suggest? You're a very young man, and I appreciate the fact that you called, but you need to be careful about who you talk to, because what happens here, I can tell by the, I can just sense that norepinephrine and all these other drugs are just coursing through your body, these natural hormones, because this guy gets you so upset. You don't want to be 17 and have a heart condition, okay?
Oh, my family has weak hearts anyway.
God. All right, Matthew, I got to go. Thanks for checking in, pal.
All right.
Stay in touch. What, a break? Oh, God. All right, just your phone calls when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
With the black folk down in Florida, colored pens and for sexing up the... I'm the someone who knew... They're not telling pre-September. I lean on... in the loop to help them unremember.
I was flying on UA-93. That shadow in the footage, it was probably me. I'm the rumor, I'm the doubt, I'm the lie. But you wouldn't stand near me if you didn't want to die. Everything you know is wrong.
Misinformation.
There's a verse missing out of this song.
Henry, I
could use... What? It is 10 before the hour. Back to your phone calls. Alan is calling from Miami, listening on WINZ. Hey, Alan.
Hi. Well, your rage, of course, is appropriate, and thank you for helping us do it when we can't do it ourselves all the time. I wonder how long the nation can stand this strain of looking at these crooks, liars, and murderers every day occupying this power, and us standing around not doing much anything, and having our so-called representatives giving them money and permission to go ahead.
I know. I wonder the same thing.
These people are ruthless. They're ripping not only our nation but the whole world limb from limb, and we're sitting around. I have a couple possible suggestions. I won't say remedies, but perhaps some things going in the right way. We need more than the 100 hours PR show that was put on at the beginning, because it's sort of like, you know, changing the curtains in the house while it's on fire.
Yeah, really.
Makes you wonder. But I think the key has to do, I mean, it's very important that there be some immediate all-out push for impeachment. But what could happen in the meantime is this business about Bush standing up and saying, well, the justification for his budget and so forth is about security. Well, This should be the key. If we had any people there with any sort of perception, security is the key to this whole thing. It should have been the key to the 2004 election, but it wasn't. It was about who's stronger instead of who's more secure. They could latch onto that security thing and say, you know what? Security is health care. Security is housing. Security
really?
Is education. Security is all these things in a nation, and it's not stopping people with box cutters.
That's right.
And it's not dropping atomic bombs on people. Security is about having a nation that whose voice is respected in their government, and they could and said, and not only that, those in our administration who think security is about force and weapons and stuff, we can prove that these people have not once used any of this stuff in an appropriate manner. Who let 9/11 happen and nobody got fired?
That's right.
Who's putting up a fence across the border of Mexico as a solution to a problem? I mean, they have no. These are people. I mean, where are our people? Standing up loud in Congress saying, of all the people to be talking about security, isn't it ridiculous that these people who have failed at every corner, at every attempt about security, they have found the wrong answer?
But what you're suggesting would require the Democrats to actually become, first of all, to become alive. The Democrats are not alive. They are apparently the walking dead. You're asking Democrats to do something that apparently they can't do.
Well, I'm asking the people to do something. That's why I agree. What I have in mind is to things that we might be able to do to push them, kicking and screaming, into doing something to save this nation. One, I think we have to, first of all, call for impeachment to start at once under any cases. There's an article I might refer you to, if I might, at Alan K, A-L-A-N-K dot newsvine dot com. It's called Impeachment Now as a Defensive Tactic. It's something I put up there as a defensive tactic, and it gives the reasons why we need it now. Then I think we need continued marches and demonstrations, sad to say, massive, more of the same old letter, phone, mail, email, etc. to Congress, and the idea, as far-fetched as a general strike, or how about this, if the Congress will not cut off funding for this war, how about a moratorium on taxes so that we take on the war powers that Congress will not take on?
Mm-hmm.
We cut off the funding to Congress. They don't have to do anything. They can sit there and twiddle their thumbs.
Well, these are good ideas. These are good
proposals. And there's something I suggested many months ago, and it's one that probably is less fall on not as many ears. But, you know, if tomorrow 50,000 people or in the next week 50,000 people were to switch their registration from Democrat to Green, you would see an immediate change in the response of how our Congress people.
Well, that's true, too.
So you have to use whatever tools are available to you. They don't understand reason. They don't seem to understand history. They don't understand logic. They're so intertwined with the powers that be, it's hard even to believe.
How do you motivate us Americans who have become apparently just totally amotivational? How do you motivate us to do what you're talking about?
Yeah, well, I'm just making suggestions. How you do it, I don't know. I looked at the Super Bowl down here in Miami, where I'm from, and this week, and I call it the Super Duper Bowl because it's such a disgusting display of orgiastic hedonism.
It is awful.
These people are running around chasing a pigskin ball around the field in an act of symbolic act of testosterone willpower, and on the other side of the globe, we're sending all of our money to drop bombs and destroy people that don't look like us.
Oh, I know. We I don't know. It's just like we live in a madhouse.
We have to tell people that if they care at all about this nation,
right,
they have to act in different fashions. They have to join up with groups. They have to find alternative news sources, and each person has to tell 10 others or give them links, tell them about your show. We have to be talking to where we live and where we work, because otherwise, we're going to lose it all. People have to understand that history is passing before our very eyes. Everybody thought was taught in school history was a thing in the past. No, history is now. We are the actors in history. If we don't take our place on this right now and start telling everybody we know, mm-hmm, about every website that we know, every program that's talking about, every organization that wants to stand up, having local groups discussing what is necessary to push impeachment, have massive pressure on this Congress to go for impeachment. And as I said on that article at alank.newsvine.com, it gives, I think, the logical reasons for impeachment, because it talks about it as a defensive tactic. It may be the one thing that'll stop an Iran war.
All right, we're out of time for this segment, but Alan, give me that website very slow. Give it again.
A-L-A-N-K.
A-L-A-N, and then the letter K.
Dot Newsvine, N-E-W-S-V-I-N-E.
Newsvine.
Dot com.
All right, we're going to go take a look. I will, and a bunch of people during the break. Alan, it's always good to hear from you. Thank you so much.
Thanks very much.
Take care.
Keep it up.
All right.
Bye.
We'll be back after the break with nothing but your phone calls. We have an open line. Jump in here and join us. 800-989-1480. This is Nova M Radio.
welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. The phone number here is 800-989-1480. During the break, somebody sent me an email here about Frankie Lane. Remember this?
Liberty clapping over hill and plain. Seems as how they never stop. Clippity clap, clippity clap, clippity, 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 clippity clapping along.
All right, well, you have to be, you have to be over a...
Plug of chalky for
do you remember this?
I do remember this, yeah. You have to be over a certain age to remember Frankie Lane. He had a bunch of hits back in the 50s. He died today. He was 93. 93, died of heart failure. Like I say, if you're not over a certain age, what I just played makes absolutely no sense, and it sounded silly to hear that. That's just one of the songs that he recorded back in the 50s. Frankie Lane had a string of hits back then, I Believe, and Mule Train, and just a bunch of them. Eleanor writes in the subject line, just because you're not rich doesn't mean you're willing to kill. She's referring to the Bush line. And Eleanor writes, that may be another tide that's about to change. I've about had it with listening to this BS budget. Pardon my geriatric French, but what's it going to take for a little, quote, shed blood of the patriots, end quote? It's time to storm the effing Bastille and get rid of all these amoral degenerates. For anyone else who can't afford regular old standard health care, I recommend 6 to 9 grams of fish oil and some ginkgo biloba to help break up the blood clots rushing to the brain right now. Signed, Eleanor, frozen stiff here in soybean country. Eleanor's in Ohio, right? Yeah. And then Diana in Florida writes, regarding Matthew, subject line, turning the other cheek, Mike, Matthew should stop calling himself a pacifist because he doesn't remotely resemble one. And he needs a lesson in the real meaning of, quote, turning the other cheek, unquote. Turning the other cheek doesn't mean you cringe and cower when attacked. It means you don't hit back. The bully strikes you down and you get up and look him in the eye. He strikes you again and you get up again without striking back. He hits you again and again and you get up again and again until the entire crowd watching and even the bully himself is sickened by what he's doing. And it's plain the one with the courage is the resistor who refuses to fight. This is what the people did when they mined the salt in India. They mined the salt and were beaten by soldiers until they had to be carried away. Then another wave of miners was beaten and taken away, and another, and another, and another, till even the British soldiers were sickened by what they were doing, and the senseless brutality of it was condemned around the world. Every time you hit the bully back, he feels justified in striking you back, and his victory over you becomes heroic. Every wise person knows the lesson. Gandhi and Martin Luther King Jr. were the epitome of the power of passive resistance. We need to stop this call to violence in the face of violence. If anyone physically attacks Bush or his administration, they will have all the excuse they need to declare martial law and invoke repressions that will make Nazi Germany look like a tea party. What pacifists do need to do is protest. Massive, relentless, nonviolent protest. What dismays me is the apathy of the American public. What will it take to bring them to the streets? Diana in Florida. What will it take to bring Americans to the streets? I don't know. I no longer know. I used to think I knew. I used to think injustice would bring people to the streets. I used to think that the prison industrial complex would bring people to the streets. I used to think that anti-war movement would bring people out. I used to think that the social inequality. And I don't know. I don't know. But anyway, thanks, Eleanor. Thanks, Diana. Back to your phone calls. LaShonda is calling from Houston, Texas. Hey, LaShonda.
Oh, I'm in Austin.
Austin, I'm sorry. That's right, yeah. You're in Austin. Why did I say Houston? Hi, LaShonda.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm good. How's the baby?
Baby's good. I'm outside, so nobody will hear him crying.
You're outside? You can go. Oh, that's right. You live in Houston. I mean Austin.
Yeah. Well, right.
Welcome to the program.
Yes, yes. I was calling. You were just saying, what is it going to take to bring people to the streets? I think that it's going to take someone taking away everyone's distractions, i.e. 50,000 TV channels, a couple of Xboxes, you know what I mean? Just people are...
Well, yeah, that's certainly part of the massive part of the problem. We've talked about it so many times that the function of television is to make us all forget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really sad, you know. Today was just a very strange news day, and I don't know, maybe it'll take people looking at what's going on. If they think of it in terms of a reality show, I don't know, maybe they may want to participate. Somebody may want to get a toll-free number and put it up after the Situation Room. But it's just crazy, you know, from Reverend Chad saying he's not sweet no more to the crazy astronaut lady riding around 950 miles in diapers.
What is up with that woman? I could not believe the story. This is a female astronaut who has been to the space station. She puts on a space diaper so she doesn't have to stop and relieve herself, so she can drive all the way from Houston all the way over to the east coast of Florida, so she can apparently kill somebody.
Woman, you do not work at the Bigger Jigger as a waitress. You are an astronaut, sweetheart. This is almost as good as something that will come on the Jerry Springer Show, the daytime TV show, not the radio show.
Work at the what?
The Bigger Jigger.
The Bigger Jigger? I wouldn't even try to say that.
Watch Mama's Family to know what the Bigger Jigger was. Yeah,
I've got a pretty good idea what the Bigger Jigger is. I'm just saying I wouldn't try to say it.
Oh, my goodness. It is just insane. I tell you, Mike, I wait for Rod Serling to show up on the Situation Room.
Oh, I know. I know. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? Rod Serling walk out and start talking to Woof Blitzer. Oh, my God.
Oh, God, Mike, baby Jesus, somebody help us, please. Okay, Mike, you know me. I just wanted to call and make my smart-ass comment.
Well, you did good. You did good, girl. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye, Mike.
All right, you have a nice evening. Rod Serling walk out on the Situation Room. Oh, my God. I saw that story today about the astronautress, and I just about lost my lunch. I swear to God.
This is someone probably hired under Bush at NASA that he would go thank for their fantastic brains.
I certainly understand passion. I certainly understand jealousy. And I'm at times in my life, I've been very intimate with rage. But I don't think there's ever been a time in my life where I'd put on a diaper so that I wouldn't have to stop and drive all the way from here to there to go kill somebody or whatever this woman was going to do. I feel very sorry for her. I really do. There's something going on here. We probably are never going to know the real story. Post-traumatic stress disorder. Something happened when she was in space between the moon and Earth. You know, something bitter or I don't know, some wolf jumped out of the bushes. And I don't know, but it's just madness, isn't it? Isn't it just madness?
And we're guarding the civil liberties by monitoring the program on a regular basis, by having the folks at NASA, the legal team, as well as the Inspector General, monitor the program, and we're briefing Congress.
Oh, shut up.
Thank you.
you can use your God-given talents, your fantastic brains, to better protect America.
Not to mention your bodies. All right. John is calling from Hot Springs, California. Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fine.
Okay. Do you realize that you did a funny joke there about your liver?
I did.
You don't remember, I hope you listen to your show again, because it was, I couldn't quit laughing because it was so funny.
What about being the size of a walnut?
I don't know. I just, you know what? It was so funny. I started laughing. I kept thinking, oh my God, what did he say? And I was like, oh, I got it. Because I couldn't remember it. But if you ever have an opportunity to listen to your show again, I mean, it was pretty funny.
Oh,
and,
good. Well, that's
anyway, fine. I had a weird statement about the Taliban.
Uh-huh.
The Taliban, remember, they were given $5 million by the UN for suppressing a harem production in their country. And do you remember a group of people called the Northern Alliance during our initial invasion of Afghanistan?
Yeah, those were our big allies.
Yeah, the Uzbekistan. Anyway, they really amounted to being the former warlords and drug lords that, you know, I don't know if you ever looked at a map of Afghanistan, that they actually reconstituted their drug trade under the auspices of being like, we are with the Americans. Because we were so against the Taliban.
Right, right.
Because the Taliban, you know, they had a thing where it was like a death penalty for you to grow heroin poppies.
Yeah, yeah. They were very, very religious, kind of Southern Baptists on acid.
The idea that, see, we live in a world now where we want to demonize the Taliban and everybody. Oh, well, they're.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we can't say the Taliban are like, they're the heroin producers of the world. We want to believe that. But in reality, it's the people that we re-enabled to come in and, you know, recreate their warlord world. We're like, okay, now we're going to have these fields of opium poppies. I mean, I'm sure you have heard that Karzai, you know, he's called the mayor of Kabul, right?
Right.
Because he can't walk out. And, you know, even to this day, his guard that accompanies him everywhere are U.S. Special Forces, right?
Right.
That he doesn't have, like,
well, I don't think, John, I don't think they're Special Forces. I think they are Blackwater. I think they're private contractors.
Okay, well, you know what? Again, you are, you know what? Can I tell you something? Yeah. I appreciate that you do know much more than me. I'm saying that you, again, you said it, actually, they said somebody other than Afghanis are guarding him.
Yeah.
Right? That's what you're saying. Isn't that what you're saying?
Yeah, but more or less.
He really is trapped in this town.
Right. Do you want another little tidbit, though? This is somebody told me this, too. They're not Afghanis. That's the name of their money. They're called Afghans.
Okay.
I was calling the people of Afghanistan Afghanis myself, and somebody sent me an email who'd been there and said, no. They are Afghans. Their money is Afghanis. Okay, so.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You're saying like rupees are Indian people's money. You're saying that Afghani is the money.
There you go.
Oh jeez.
That's all right.
You know what? I love your show. I love you, and I'll tell you. I hope you listen to your show. You did do a joke. You did a thing about your liver.
All right,
I apologize. I'm just saying it. I couldn't quit laughing, and I kept thinking, "Oh my God, what did he say?"
I'll try to find it again.
It was hilarious.
Although I do have a rule that I usually don't listen to my program after I've done it one time, because it just makes me nervous as a sex worker in Sunday school. Yes.
It makes your liver become
a walnut,
shrink
the
to the size of
a walnut.
Of
a, yeah, that's pretty much that's what I was trying to say earlier there. Joy is calling from Santa Cruz. Hey, Joy, welcome to the program. Hey, Joy. Is Joy around? You can't get her up there, Kathy? All right, put her on hold. Let's try again.
How about Mike in Chicago? Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, Mike? How's everything?
Everything's fine. Thanks for the DVDs. I got them
today. Oh, you did get them. Good. I sent you an email, so you can obviously just discard it. Yeah, I had to actually breathe through a paper bag when I watched those. I was just, it was so unsettling to watch those.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's, yeah. You're mad now.
I don't know what they are, but I will watch them.
Yeah, yeah. And the, one of them is actually about the war profiteering in Iraq, which brings me to the point. Wait a minute.
War profiteering? I thought they were like Debbie Does Dallas. They're about war profiteering in Iraq?
Yeah, unfortunately.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
And speaking of, what is Henry Waxman doing? Does anyone have any idea?
Hey, I don't know. Hold on. Mike, hold on a second. We got to take a break here. When we come back, I want to tell you about my liver. No, just stay right where you are. Don't go away. Come back. Stay there. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network. My brother Jeff in Florida will oversee the count. The Supreme Court will decide if we don't get the right amount. Don't misunderestimate me. I have come to teach the world about democracy. I'm running on the legs of responsibility. Before the hour, if you like that music, that's one of our listeners, John Neems. It's from a CD, In Your Dreams. If you want to hear more of that, go to johnneems.com. His last name is N-I-E-M-S, johnneems.com, N-I-E-M-S. That's a great CD. He sent me a copy, and it's really, really good music. That's the kind of music... Kathy bought me a Bose radio back in July for my birthday, and it's got this wonderful 30 or 60 or 90 minute sleep function on it, and it takes one CD. And when he first sent me that, I've slipped it in there and hit 30 minutes, and usually I go to sleep. Nope, had to listen to another 30, and it's like, wow. John Neems, In Your Dreams is the CD, N-I-E-M-S, johnneems.com. Check it out. Now, who are we talking to? I think we were talking with Mike in Chicago. Hey, Mike. Thanks for holding on.
Oh, thanks, Mike. Is John Neems, is he the one who does that My God is Better Than Your God by chance?
No, he's a piano tuner. He's called our program before. You've probably heard him when he calls from Las Vegas and he says, hey, it's your piano tuner guy.
Oh, okay.
That's what he does for a living.
Well, you know, getting back to the point, I think that the way everything's going to get shaken up is if finally people start beating on Henry Waxman's door, because there's been absolutely no oversight with, remember, robocalling? They were supposed to do some looking into that.
Oh,
nothing's
yeah.
been done about that. Into Halliburton and Blackwater, nothing's been done about that. And I'm wondering, what is he doing? Is he on vacation, or what is Henry Waxman doing?
Well, the only answer I would have would be that, you know, there's so many things that so many acts of criminality that the Bush administration has gotten into and Waxman is one of the few. I think there's only two or three committees that are going to be looking at stuff. There are some subcommittees, but I think Waxman's is the main oversight committee. So it may take them a little bit of time, but I'm just as impatient as you are. I realize they have 2 years. To do this, so to speak. I mean, that's when the next election is. But I'm like you. I don't know. I just wish somebody would start issuing subpoenas and throw these bastards out. I'm so sick of this.
Okay, is there any way we can write to Nancy Pelosi? Because I think I've tried before, and unless you're in her district, I don't think she accepts emails from anyone other than in California.
Well, what you can do to bypass that, just get a zip code from California and type that. Get a fake address. You know, just look in I don't know. There are all kinds of search engines. Find find a fake address and put that down as your mailing address with a fake zip code, and you can get through to her. Plus, if you don't want to do that, there I think since she's the Speaker of the House, there are ways to get in touch with her. And somebody's going to, I'm probably going to have about 15 people email it to me, and I'll, it'll just drive me nuts. So you can figure it out yourself, but you can, you can use, just look in San Francisco. She represents, the congressional district in California that, includes San Francisco. Find an address in San Francisco. Find something in the hate. And send it. And, you know, just use that address.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll let you go, Mike. I know you've got other calls. Well, have yourself a good one, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Mike, and thanks for the DVDs. Take care. We'll talk again. All right. Now, Joy in Santa Cruz. Let's try to get her back. Are you there now, Joy? Joy? All right. Well, maybe Billy can get her to hang up and try in again. Try calling in. Kevin is calling from Washington, D.C. Hey, Kevin, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. First of all, I want to start off. That Florida story, that is very Florida. Only stuff like that can't happen.
What, the astronaut thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
trust me, that's nothing. That's mild compared to some of the things. I just moved from there. That's mild. It gets more bizarre.
Yeah, that sounds like a Carl Hiaasen novel. I don't know if you read any of his books. He is he's a columnist for the Miami Herald, but he also has written about 10 books
about crazy
people in Florida. Although she drove all the way from Houston, so, you know, go figure.
Anything below Virginia becomes rather bizarre, and these are the people who are running the country.
Yeah, really.
Or running the world for all intents and purposes. But what I really wanted to get at is it never ceases to amaze me how stupid people can become when you question them, especially today during the budget hearings. It's like all of a sudden these people who make their living speaking all of a sudden don't know how to speak. They dummy up. And
totally tongue-tied.
Yeah, and it was like, you know, I don't know if they all worked in human resources. If you ever worked a corporate job and speak to a human resource person, it's like they give you this non-answer for an answer kind of speak, which I just don't get. I really don't get. And that's what it felt like to me today.
I know.
Yeah. Anyway, Mike, love your show, and that's all I have to say.
All right. Well, thanks. Thanks a lot, Kevin. Thanks for checking in. Stay in touch with us. Robert is calling from Miami. Hey, Robert. Welcome to the program.
Hey, hello, Mike. Hey, I was going to get on to the subject of the $12 billion. Before I do that, I had a comment. The astronaut woman, I think she was on her drive to Orlando. She was humming windshield wipers, you wear diapers. So if you remember that. Speaking of old songs.
That's not a real song. That's something you sing to get your kids singing in the car when you're on a long trip.
But this is the only case where it's accurate. So, I mean, I don't know, you know.
Windshield wipers, you wear
diapers. You wear diapers. I mean, I hadn't thought of that for a long time. But anyway, I'm watching Jack Cafferty today on CNN, and I thought, well, this is interesting. The rest of the media, you know, banned this news. He was talking about $12 billion in cash that disappeared in Iraq shortly after the attack and invasion of Iraq.
Right.
And I guess Henry Waxman was interrogating Rip Bremmer about that, who used to run Iraq for a short period of time after the invasion.
Right.
And I guess Jack Cafferty claimed that Bremmer's explanation, if you call it that, was, well, wait a minute, that wasn't American taxpayers' money. We think that was Iraqi money. And so Cafferty came back and said, well, that makes it okay if it's Iraqi money. And then, you know, my thought was, well, hang on a second. What are the American contractors doing with $12 billion in Iraqi cash? I mean, that's not really an explanation. It wasn't there. And how could they find, in other words, if you just invaded the country, how could it not be American cash? Because they wouldn't even have a chance to get their hands on the Iraqi cash.
Well, the way I understand it, it's a horrifyingly typical story regarding the Bush crime family. But what I understand is that this money, which weighed a total, now get this.
360.
360 tons.
That's what I heard, yeah.
It was loaded onto a military aircraft. It was the largest cash shipment ever made by the Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
Waxman said, who in their right mind would send 360 tons of cash into a war zone? But I understand it was money that had been held by the United States. It came from Iraqi oil exports.
Oh, okay.
It came from surplus dollars from that oil for food program and frozen assets belonging to...
Okay.
Yeah, but that could be all lies. Don't forget, the Bush administration lies about everything.
Well,
if they told me right now it was nearing quarter till midnight Eastern time,
yeah.
I wouldn't believe the sons of bitches, because that's all they do is a lie.
Well,
so who knows? Who knows where it came from?
If you remember, Mike, shortly after the invasion, I remember distinctly, and then it was buried, never mentioned again on the media, that Bush people said, we will have a full counting of all the money spent in Iraq, the Iraqi money, the U.S. money, full counting, and 4 years later, almost, and they haven't done it.
Yeah.
And my my thought was that, $12 billion, right on my head there.
Yeah, well, see, when I do that, Kathy looks at me like I have early Alzheimer's, but, yeah.
I should have written a note, but... here was a thought on impeachment, okay? Now, a certain Texan who remained unknown dumped the war on Nixon, which was really the proxy, the Watergate thing really was a proxy for the war. But anyway, a certain Texan dumped that war on Nixon. Nixon got, in effect, impeached. He got forced to resign.
Yeah.
Over a burglary was the claim. Clinton, I said that was Nixon, and then Clinton got impeached over
Be careful. Yeah.
Now, $12 billion, that wouldn't be up there with a burglary or an affair, would it?
Look. The Bush crime family can do anything they want to because the Democratic Party allows it to happen.
Yeah.
The Democratic Party in Washington, the elected members of the Democratic Party are terrified of conservatives. They're terrified to resist. They're terrified to question. They're terrified to block. They're terrified to do anything.
Right.
So that's the reason. 12 billion can disappear in a black hole, and I believe it was probably closer to 50 billion, maybe 100 billion. That's why Wolf Blitzer can interview Dick Cheney, and Cheney can say anything he wants to, because Democrats, you see, are terrified. They're very afraid of conservatives. Robert, I gotta go. Thanks.
Have a good night.
All right, appreciate it. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
It's all about smoking. It's all about smoking.
JohnNeems.com.
Everywhere you turn, there he is again. You don't really know, but he's everywhere you go. Touched us all for so many years, had only one little break.
And with the thought, I'll be thinking I'll be nothing like a Lincoln, cause I just don't have a brain. Picture me as I will be, and I pretend I am president. Of my tax cut, you hardly see a cent. You'll wonder where your money went. Now, don't ask about Gail Norton.
I firmly believe the death tax is good for people from all walks of life, all throughout our society.
And when the questions come a-flying, I'll be smirking and a-lying, cause I just don't have a brain. My powers of deduction found weapons of destruction. The evidence is plain.
10 before the hour, thanks to Billy Foster, who engineered the program tonight, and he had some help. Kim Macias answered your calls. Chris in Minnesota is our senior correspondent. Mark Marshall is our webmaster. Catherine Bay is the executive producer of this program. If you need another reminder, here it comes. Right from my heart, go to NovaMradio.com, okay, and sign up and become a founding member of this network. We really, really, really need you to do that. Whether you do it on an annual basis or a monthly basis, that's your call. But please do it, all right? NovaMradio.com, and become a sponsor I've gotten several emails tonight from people who have just found the program, and they're like, whoa, man, I didn't. Okay, that's good. I appreciate that. But back it up. Back it up. Make sure this network stays on the air. NovaMradio.com. Thank you. Mark is calling from Central City, Nebraska. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Pretty good. Hey, Nancy Pelosi, she says impeachment's off the table. I thought maybe a recall election for Nancy Pelosi would help her get her attitude screwed on straight.
I don't understand. I adopt the Bart Cop attitude. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, go to bartcop.com. But the Bart Cop attitude, there are pink tutu Democrats, and they're the Democrats who just won't do anything, no matter how often their faces are shoved into it by Republicans. Now, I don't think Pelosi is that way. I don't know about Harry Reid. I think Pelosi is a fighter, but I'm trying to be patient. I'm trying to, you know, go with the flow. You know, don't be a jerk. Don't expect Pelosi or the Democrats to remove these thugs overnight. But, Jesus, they better show me something pretty soon. Not just me, but, I mean, the whole country. God, I sound like Bush.
Part of me wants to be patient, but part of me wants to see Bush just kind of drug through the mud for 2 years, just investigation,
yes.
You know, just
yes.
On and on and on. That wouldn't be all bad either.
Well, also, not just for the personal humiliation that the little rat bastard would go through, but also just to clear the air for the American public and to let the Bush supporters, and they're still out there, see what this thug, this criminal, this punk has done to our country. Because obviously they have mud in their ears and eyes. They can't see. They can't hear. Maybe they can smell it if the Democrats hold the hearings, conduct the investigations, and drag out of these cretins what they have done to our country. Maybe then the Republicans will get the idea and leave their party and either stay home and play with themselves or try to educate themselves and become Democrats.
Hey, listen, I'll let you go. Keep on trucking. Great show.
All right. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you checking in, Mark. Take care. God, I hate Republicans. I just do. They disgust me. I hate is not the right word. I guess disgust. People who can support a party that has done this to our country, this to our reputation. People that can support a party that condones terrorism. Torture. Only they do it in a clandestine way. They're even cowards about their torture. They send people to other countries and torture them. You filthy, cowardly pigs. And that's why Republicans to me are the mainstream run-of-the-mill Republicans are just worse than useless. They're horrifying. They're ugly, mean-spirited, cowardly. I don't get it. I just don't get it. How could a country that produces so many good people produce such vermin as Republicans or conservatives? How does that happen? Is it genetic? That's why I don't trust people who used to be Republicans and then become Democrats. I don't trust them. It's in their DNA. I don't trust them. Alex is calling from Scottsdale, Arizona. Hey, Alex.
Hey, good afternoon, whatever evening.
Right. Well, it's 4 o'clock in the morning here in the East.
Well, I get so wound up. I've been wound up for 2.5 weeks, and as I was telling him when I was calling in, that I've been wanting to get in because, you know, McCain said something the other day, and he was calling the other senators out, and he said, if you're going to do something, I'll do it. Don't just sit there and withdraw money. And then I was listening to you last night, and you're explaining it. Basically, he was calling a bunch of blankety blanks.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like kitty cats.
Exactly.
If you're going to do something about this, then do it. If not, don't sit there and whine about it and try to cause financing problems.
Yeah, I agree.
And it was like they didn't even know they were being called blankety blanks because I got to watch my lip, right?
Yes, you do.
But it was like McCain had, for once, he said something that actually made me, at first I thought he was a nuts and he's being a flip-flopper, but then again he said something, well, if you're going to do something about it, then do something about it, but don't just sit there and snivel about it.
Yeah.
And basically, they didn't even know that he was telling them that until I listened to you last night. And then I read between the lines, and I'm going, boy, Malloy's got a skew on this thing, you know, on what's going on. Because it's basically, they don't know, they can't communicate, like you said.
Yeah, I you know, I don't like McCain. I don't like Giuliani. I've said it before, I don't like any Republicans. And the reason I don't like them is because they're cowards. They're fork-tongued. They lie. They're deceivers. They cheat on their wives. They cheat on their husbands. They cheat on each other.
Well, they cheat on Americans.
They cheat on Americans. Well, anyone who cheat on their spouse who gets elected to represent the American public will cheat the American public. You know, a cheater is a cheater is a cheater, period. Hey, listen, Alex, we're out of time. I got to leave there.
I appreciate it. Even Ross Perot said something about cheaters in his own company at one time. But the last thing, if you want to have an enraged pacifist, just listen to that guy called Glenn Beck.
Oh, no, I can't do that. I can't listen to Glenn Beck. When I listen to Glenn Beck, it just, I don't know. I don't know what I want to do. I want to burn down cities. I want to destroy civilizations. The guy is just a thug and a punk. I'll see you tomorrow night, Truth Seekers. Thanks for hanging out for the past 3 hours. Take care, okay? Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.